This is the BBC Home Service.
There now follows an experimental trade transmission in tridecimo septophonic sound. To acquire the best results from tridecimo septophonic sound, first arrange your 37 speakers into a regular tridecimo septilateral around the room. Then take up a prostrate position, such as head of British Leyland. Then point your bottom towards Mecca. If you find it rather hard, simply write to us and we'll send you some ointment. In order for you to appreciate the subtle delicacies of tridecimo septophonic sound, the sheer 37-ness of its technology, the broadcast you are about to hear is a specially arranged version of I've Got a Lovely Bunch of Coconuts, played by a one-man band. During the course of the number, however, he will be using a total of 36 instruments, each of which will be relayed through one of the 37 speakers. The noise coming through speaker number 16, therefore, is a bit of a bonus. To our knowledge, it will be the first time this noise has ever been broadcast live on radio, especially at tea time. Persons wishing to complain about it in advance should write now to the BBC Complaints Handling Bureau, Lambeth Crematorium, London W1A1RAC.
The BBC wish it to be known that the programme which follows is 100% dummy in nature. It is in no way real, factual, or serious, but is founded wholly and completely on dummy-orientated principles. We repeat, do not take this piece of dummery seriously. The key word to remember on this one is dummy. Not real at all. Dummy is definitely the kiddo this time. 24-carat dummy. Thank you.
We present The War of the Worlds, read by Ork.
Yes, sir. How dare you broadcast such an alarmingly realistic report about horrific aliens invading our planet? My niece and I were completely fooled by the entirely authentic ring of the whole bulletin and both died of heart attacks from the shock of it all. Yours sincerely, I haven't finished yet. What I want to know is this. What's happened to the Navy Lark? Since it was taken off the air, I've got nothing to put on my rhubarb. I remain yours disgustedly, one of those people who talk like this all the time.
Yes, a brief but terrifying glimpse there of the government's proposed new humorous wireless program, the Burkitt's Way to Dynamic Living. Should they really be allowed to go ahead and build it on Radio 4, right here next to the Archers? Tonight, in the Alarmist Report, top Daily Mirror journalist and head of putting everything into capital letters for the leader column, John Alarmist, investigates the frightening implications confronting us all while wearing six different casual suits.
The Alarmist Report, a report not featuring someone other than John Alarmist. And in tonight's Alarmist Report, we ask, are fast breeders like Joe Kendall, Chris Emmett, Nigel Reese and Fred Harris really as safe as they make out? Or is there just 1 hour to Burkitt's Way?
Well, I was just standing in the kitchen, pressing my husband's vest, as it gives him a bit of a thrill. And all of a sudden, there was this blinding sketch on the wireless.
I'm wearing a navy blue denim suit. Can you remember what the sketch was about?
Well, I can't remember what was actually said, but I think it was to do with Vanessa Redgrave.
So, nothing really sticks out.
Oh, yes. That was it.
Mrs. Edith Woman. Later, I spoke to a foreigner.
Qu'est-ce que c'est?
What was that?
Le Burkitt's Way.
The Burkitt's Way?
Oui, je l'entends toujours.
Oh, yes, I hear it always.
C'est magnifique. C'est merveilleux.
It was terrible. Absolutely awful. I had just switched the radio on to hear the stock market report and ruin another pair of trousers. And all of a sudden there was anarchic comedy and zany spoofity everywhere. As a result, I have now been transformed into a completely wacky person, madcap in every way, and no longer able to enjoy normal jokes with my wife.
Yes, these are the facts. In Britain today, 50 million, billion, trillion, grillion, zillion people are still suffering from the first Burkitt way. If more are built, then your grandchildren could grow up in a world contaminated with...
We present The Duchess of Duke Street. And not just upstairs, downstairs with the furniture rearranged. April 1912, and the war clouds gather all over Europe.
Blimey, Your Majesty. If you weren't a bleeding busy sitting on your bleeding throne, you'd see what a fine mess the bleeding country's in. Oh, blimey, I mean to say. Have some lobster thermidor garnished with tiny sauteed BBC frost. If you pulled your bleeding finger out, our poor bleeding soldiers bleeding in bleeding frost, instead of seeing bleeding the bleeding country apart, would be bleeding the bleeding...
Next week, Louisa says bleedin' to Tsar Nicholas II of all the Russias and Alexander, Cor Blimey Your Highness to the Grand Duchess Mary of Hesse and Saxe-Coburg, and pull your bleeding finger out to 8 hereditary peers, 2 archbishops, 1 orthodox, the other heterosexual, and a photo of Queen Mary.
Yes, these are the facts. In Britain today, 50 million, billion, trillion, sictillion, peck of Lillian Thompson think a pear drop is Cyril Smith taking his trousers off. But how exactly does a humorous wireless program work? Professor Norman Still Me Talking explains. Well, the first breakthrough came when scientists conducting a post-mortem on the Dick Emery Show discovered it to be composed of microscopic, almost imperceptible jokes known as false bosom-ons, silly buck teeth-ons, and... Since then, technicians have been carefully watching all of his subsequent shows, and we hope to hear their conclusions just as soon as they wake up. Thank you, Professor. Well, to understand the complexity of the problem, I managed to actually gain admission into a pale brown cotton suit. Later on, I was shown round the Burkitt's research plant sketch at Stepney.
Well, there's nothing sinister about this sketch, I can assure you, Mr. Alarmist. It just starts here, as you can see, with you and me walking down this corridor. And then I just enter this door here.
Oh, good. Can I come too?
No, I'm afraid it's authorized personnel only through here. The material is rather unstable, you see. Won't be a minute. Morning, Bobbin.
Oh, dear. Whoops-a-daisy.
Whoops-a-daisy.
I haven't interrupted anything, have I, Bobbin?
No, sir. No, this was just a scientific experiment we were carrying out.
Yes, sir, just an experiment, sir.
Ah, yes, sir. With Miss Brimson here, you mean?
Whoops-a-daisy.
Whoops-a-daisy.
How's the research into alternative energy sources coming along, then, Boffins?
It's very promising, Mr. Gorillison. Very promising.
Good, splendid. Let's see it, then.
When I said it was very promising, I meant more... Can I go home now, please, sir?
No, you cannot. To be honest, I... Miss Brimson?
Yes, sir?
Are you feeling too hot?
No, sir. Why do you ask?
Well, it's just that whenever I come in here, you don't seem to have any clothes.
What's
on.
I say, Miss Brimson, may I compliment you on that rather bulky, low-hanging necklace you're wearing?
A necklace? What necklace?
A fat, two-beaded necklace.
Ah, oh, necklace, yes. Yes, my wife could do with one like that. Anyway, Bobbins, what I really wanted to discuss with you was the somewhat strange equipment you've been requisitioning just lately.
Yes, the Bunsen burners. We can explain that, can't we? You see, what we wanted was something nice and hot.
Nice and hot, yes. Uh-huh.
So we said, the very thing, Bunsen burners, didn't we?
Yes, we said, the very thing, Miss Trimson.
No, Bunsen burners.
Bunsen burners.
I am not talking about the Bunsen burners, as well you know. I'm talking about what's inside this huge glass bottle here.
What's today, sir?
You do realize what you've got in here, don't you, Boffins?
Uh, Yes, sir. Jerry and the pacemakers, sir.
Jerry and the pacemakers, exactly. What's the meaning of this?
Well, sir, what we've been attempting to do over the last 12 years is to, as it were, split the Mersey sound.
Yes, sir. Just watch this.
How do you do what you do to me? I wish I knew.
You see, Mr. Gorillison, our theory is that if you split Jerry and the pacemakers...
Yes?
It makes a rather nasty mess on the floor.
Yes, whereas if you split Cilla Black...
Yes?
It makes quite a pleasing mess on the floor.
Oh, go! What's that? What's that?
Oh, it's the alarm system. It means these events are getting dangerously absurd. What we need is an emergency rewrite immediately. Quick, Boffin, too. What was your next line?
Our latest experiment, sir, is to try and harness hanky power. Our theory is that if we can succeed in kind of splitting the hanky, we could develop the man-sized Scotty bomb with wet string. Then the intercontinental bit of cardboard to go in your top pocket, together with the strategic ground-to-air missile that wraps itself around a dog for no reason, then unwinds all over the garden.
Lord, yes, that's perilously ludicrous. Quick, I need something to write with. Miss Crimson, give me some ballpoints.
3 out of 10, sir.
Thank you.
But what are you going to do, Mr. Gorillison?
Well, it's our only hope to de-wacky this situation. I'm going to rewrite you into an investment consultant.
An investment consultant, sir?
Yes, that's right, Boffin 1. And you, Boffin 2, I'm rewriting you into Mrs. Hackenbottom, one of his clients.
Mrs. Hackenbottom?
Yes, sorry about that. I didn't realize this pen was so sharp. Anyway, all I need to do now is rewrite this laboratory into a boring, sensible office. And yes.
Very well, sir. I don't think I've ever been rewritten as an investment consultant before. I only hope you know what you'll do. Do come in, Mrs. Hackenbottom, and sit down. I've just finished compiling my suggestions for your investment program.
Oh, yes.
Yes, I have the plan all worked out. I think you should sell the 10,000 shares in the Danish Landrace Silk Purse Company, let go the 24,000 in Stifco Life Assurance, and liquidate your holdings in the Harry Hyams Friends of the Earth Society.
That's all I've got, isn't it?
Yes, it was. Then I should let your house out, and preferably your blouse as well, mortgage the children, knock down your mother for redevelopment, melt down the goldfish, and then sell your migraine and get yourself a nice cheap headache. That should just be enough, I think.
Just enough? What for?
The archery competition, of course.
Archery competition? What archery competition?
Well, it's obvious, isn't it? You offer a golden arrow to the finest archer in all the land.
I beg your pardon?
Offer a golden arrow to the finest archer in all the land. Get it? See the drift?
No.
Really, Mrs. Hackenbottom, it's the oldest trick in the book. It never fails.
Never fails? To do what?
Capture Robin Hood, of course. Good heavens, I don't know where...
Look, I'm sorry, I just don't understand.
Well, it's simple. Robin Hood hears of the contest, you see. Then he disguises himself as a simple farmer.
No, I mean, I don't understand how it makes money.
Ah, money, yes.
Well?
Well, of course, there is an element of risk involved.
Well, how much money will it make?
Oh, where's my calculator? Damn, I can never get it to write. Never mind. It will make you a nun.
Make me a nun?
No. It's 23 years too late for that. I mean, it will make you no profits.
Well, that's not much good, is it? Surely there's something else we can do with the money.
I suppose we could use it to buy gilt-edged stocks.
Gilt-edged stocks? Now, how would that help?
Well, we could imprison little John in the gilt-edged stocks. Then, when Robin Hood comes to rescue him...
Look, I'm beginning to regret making you my financial advisor. All you're interested in is capturing Robin Hood. Look at last year, when bankruptcy was looming and creditors were knocking at our door. What did you tell my husband to do? What did you tell him to do?
Dress up as a rich bishop and walk through the forest jingling his purse.
Exactly. If he hadn't had such a good time, he'd have seen through it immediately. Well, now, it's gone far enough. Look at the cost of this ludicrous advice you've been giving me. £6 million for a course of sword fighting up spiral staircases, Lester.
Yes.
£42,000 to kidnap Friar Tuck and threaten him with a spoonerism.
Well, you will.
And then digging up Basil Rathbone for professional advice.
But this time it's bound to work, honestly.
I'm sorry, I've had enough.
And she's not alone. These are the facts. I'm now wearing a dark maroon number in Cavalry 12, and in Britain today, a total of 50 million billions. Brillion, zillion, fillion, squillion, dillion.
A fortnight later.
Brillion, brillion, squillion, illion, yillion, tillion, squillion, gillion people. And that's just at a conservative estimate. Humorous items of the sort you've just witnessed are even at this very moment being subjected to underground tests. Only yesterday, a joke was tried out at Piccadilly Circus tube station. And the blast destroyed an entire trainload of Newcastle United supporters, killing 1.5 people. Only 2 weeks before that, a quickie was dropped on Knightsbridge, reducing it almost entirely to Catford. But the protesters refused to take all this lying down. Already, a wide-scale opposition is being mounted to potentially dangerous shows like this one.
Mr. and Mrs. Be nice to each other.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of Mr. and Mrs. My name is Derek Beatty, or the one with the monocle, and straight away, who are our first contestants?
Well, Derek, our first couple are Dr. Crippen and his husband...
Eric Poe de Croydon.
Lovely to have you both on the show. Now then, Mr. Croydon, what do you do for a living?
I work in the abattoir, sir.
Oh, yes, yes?
Yes, I stand in for the cows when they're off sick, sir. My father, though, he's in oil.
Really?
Yeah, he donated his body to medical research.
Yes, well, now I see you're married to Dr. Crippen.
Yes, that's right, sir, yeah. My first wife left me because she found out I'd got a bit of stuff on the side.
Really?
Yeah, but I've wiped it off now.
Yes, well, let's get right on now.
I had to put the cat down last night.
Really? Well, the first thing is, would you?
Yeah, we can't afford a carpet, see?
Yes, well, now let's get straight on to the point.
I'm saving up for malnutrition, you
will
know.
Will you shut your trap, you grubby little lugworm?
Well, isn't he a panic? Now then, your wife, Dr. Crippen, has gone into the box, so now it's up to you to answer these questions.
Oh, very well, Mr. Beatty, you're the one with the monocle.
Now then, when your wife... Your wife, when your wife is shopping for eggs...
Eggs,
does she buy the large size, the standard size, the small size, or does she murder people and stick them behind the wallpaper? Think very carefully now.
I think...
Just a minute. What's going on?
Anti-Burgess Way demonstrators, Derek. They're trying to break up the sketch.
Well, we won't let them. Come on, Mr. Croydon, what's your answer to that question?
Come on. I can't say it, sir. Somebody's lying down in front of me punchline.
And the protest goes on. So far, we've seen some pretty frightening stuff. But I think that what you're about to see now is the most awful of all. It's a matching three-piece number in Harris tweed with leather elbow pants. Worse still is the next Burkitt Wave project, which to my mind features a character so unbelievable and ridiculous it's not true. See what you think.
These are the facts. In 1977, a total of 50 billion, trillion, grillion, biggin, hillion, riffrillion, multi-million, bedtime billion illegal immigrants entered Britain. All of them allegedly just to watch an eclipse of the backseat of Enoch Powell's trousers. But the problem doesn't end there, because over the last few years, a frightening new addiction problem has sprung up. The problem of people who saw their legs off.
Mrs. Phyllis Woman,
What was it that first made you suspect your son had, in fact, been sawing his legs off?
Well, I suppose it was about 2 months ago, really. I was dusting his bedroom out, and I found this... knee! Hidden under the pillow.
And that was the first indication you'd had of Dennis's delegment activities?
Well, I suppose it was. Although, of course, at the time, I never gave it a second thought. It wasn't really until last week when he...
When he asked you to take his trousers up rather a lot.
Yes, these are the facts. In Great Britain today, a total of 50 billion trillion grillion, armadillion trillion, jack and jillion, wentillion, up the hillion people saw their legs off daily. Last week, I went along to one of the notorious Piccadilly leg-sawing parties.
Ron Actor, you are, yes. I believe, a self-confessed leg-sawing addict.
Yeah, man, yeah. I've been dropping pins nearly 8 years now.
And how did it all begin?
Well, one night at this party, I just cut my toenails and really it developed from there, you know.
And I believe you've sawn your legs off now a total of 2,954 times?
Right, yeah.
In spite of the fact that in common with the majority of mammalian primates, you are only equipped with two hind limbs.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Didn't this present a bit of a problem at all?
Well, only on the last 2,952 occasions. They were a bit heavy going, yeah.
Tell me, what exactly is the attraction of sawing your legs off?
Well, I can't really explain.
Surely you mean walk?
Oh, yeah, I can't really walk.
I see. And where exactly do you normally saw your legs off?
Round the back of the gasworks, mate.
No, I mean, where do you go to saw them off?
Oh, I see. Oh, back to the flat, usually.
There will now be a short intermission. Coming soon to this intermission, the war epic of a lifetime.
On April the 3rd, 1941, GHQ Allied Naval Command issued a fateful message to all British and Allied craft spanning the Atlantic. Find the Bismarck. And so began one of the most terrifyingly, inevitably awesome wells in the whole of the Second World War.
Hello, dear. I'm home.
Hello, dear. Hurry up. Your ration book's getting cold. Did you have a hard day at the office?
Oh, I did that. I got another 152 white feathers. Why won't you let me join the army?
Oh, don't be daft, dear. Eider downs are very expensive.
I suppose you're right. What's this letter?
It's from the children.
Oh, Martin, do you think it was right to send them away from home like that?
Well, of course it was. They'll be much safer than here.
But suppose Mr. and Mrs. Hitler don't get on with them.
Rubbish. Listen to this. Had a lovely time playing squash all afternoon with Uncle Adolf. He says we can drive the steamroller next time. We were a bit homesick at first, but Mary never cries for Mummy at night now since Auntie Eva gave her a fluffy panther to sleep with. And in fact...
Here, I don't want to say out, but I think there's someone at the door.
I thought so. The place is crawling with Jerrys.
Who are you?
I'm not Biggles. Okay. Okay, Fritz, come on, hand it over.
Hand what over?
What do you think? The Bismarck, of course.
The Bismarck?
Now, don't play marbles with me, Leathershorts. We know it's in here somewhere.
What are you talking about? How can we have the Bismarck in here?
Do me a favour. Isn't it number 32 and we've looked all over Arkwright Street?
Haven't you tried the ocean?
Don't come that old bone of contentment with me, Kaiser. Harris?
Yes, not Captain Biggles.
Arrest these men. They're Nazis.
We are not.
Don't try and come the old lang syne with me, Fritz. You've just told me the Bismarck was in the ocean twice.
It is.
That proves you're all Huns, then. How do you know where it is when the whole of the Allied fleet doesn't?
You're a VAT inspector, aren't you?
I bloody well am. I bloody well am not.
Betty is, Edie.
I am not. I am a Royal Navy officer.
All right, then. Show me your credentials.
Certainly not.
There you are. That proves he's not in the Navy. He is a VAT inspector.
Quick, the silver crucifix. It's completely zero rated.
Oh, okay. Take it away.
Lummy. He's crumbled completely to civil service digestive biscuits. Grandpa, what did you do?
No, it's not Grandpa, but in fact I am Professor Schulzenheimer of Transylvania University.
Gasp.
Yes. Bit of a clever villain, but not quite clever enough. You see, if a VAT inspector doesn't get into his coffin before the next tea break, he is destroyed.
Forever?
No, he claims back 8% of his life from the government. The only way to kill him forever is to drive a stake through his heart.
That doesn't sound too difficult.
Difficult? First of all, you have to fill in the stake through the heart form 222-AA-1884936B, have it ratified by General Headquarters, put through the computer at Swansea, triplicated, speak before the Circulatory Organs Puncturing Executive Subcommittee Tribunal, check your class 3 contributions for the last 100 years, and poke lemons through little plastic hoops for no apparent reason in an office in Broadwick Street.
Oh.
But fear not. We shall not rest until all traces of VAT have been swept from the face of the civilized world and Luton. When the VAT inspector has been well and truly exorcised from this planet, then folk like Joe Kendall, Chris Emmett, Nigel Rees, and Fred Harris will be able to sleep easy in each other's beds again. When decent people like Andrew Marshall and David Renwick can walk through the streets without fear of having their lines cut, and indecent producers like John Lloyd of Europe can hold his head upright without the customs and excise taking 25% of it as a luxury good. When all these people are free, completely free, the BBC might just be able to afford them. Then, and only then, will we enjoy a life truly liberated from the taint of the Batman.
The world will hear from me again.
Well, those then are the facts. That is the nature of the awesome menace that now faces mankind and BBC radio listeners. Unless the government's Burkist program is halted at once, the future is bleak. It could spell the end of Radio 4 as we know it. Good night.
This is the end of Radio 4 as we know it. This is the end of Radio 4 as we know it.